listening to the Paul McGuire Report, wherever you are on planet Earth or in the USA. On today's program, we're going to talk about an extremely important topic or subject, and that is psychological mass warfare, which is being employed in the United States and all across the world by the globalist elite. Now, I started studying psychological warfare when I was in college, actually before college. And you may say, well, that's an odd thing for a guy to do. Yeah, it was an odd thing to begin studying intensely psychological warfare. But as I brought up in the last couple of days, I brought up my life story to one degree, and that is that I was on a search for answers and the meaning to life, et cetera, et cetera. And as a consequence, I began to understand that mass movements, for me, when I was 15 years old, I was demonstrating with the radical activist Abby Hoffman in Manhattan in New York City. For those of you that don't know who Abby Hoffman was, Netflix just did a big movie with him and the other members of what was called the Chicago Eight. They were eight counterculture leaders. Abby Hoffman was one of them. And they organized the massive and also violent and also theatrical protests outside of the Democratic National Convention, where thousands and thousands of like hippie, radical, Black Panther revolutionaries engaged the police. They provoked the police by taunting them, et cetera, and then the police would club them and shoot tear gas at them and stuff. When you think of that time in Chicago, what we saw with Black Lives Matter and those demonstrators smashing windows and their methodology of riots in the streets and stuff, all of that was learned through Abby Hoffman and the other radical activists. He trained them. And when I was 15 years old, he was my hero as a kid. One of his best-selling books was called Steal This Book. The problem with that is when I went to the local bookstore and intended to steal the book, I said to myself, you know, stealing is wrong. I can't do that. So I paid for the book. I guess deep inside, I couldn't be committed to this Marxist thing that he never came out back then and admitted that he was a Marxist or a communist. About 30 years later, Abby Hoffman committed suicide. And shortly before he committed suicide, he admitted to the world that indeed, all the time he had been a communist and Marxist revolutionary. Yet he had an incredible influence on the youth culture of that time because he hung out with rock and roll stars, he looked like a rock star, and he knew how to organize a demonstration so that it would be like dynamic theater. It would be a show. He knew showmanship and PR and promotion, and he utilized that. So I was demonstrating with him when I was 15 years old, and I would try to get near him because I wanted to learn from him. I wanted to learn the way his mind thought. And when I was at a demonstration, I would be tried to be near where he was hanging out or his wife was hanging out or whatever, and observe the real Abbie Hoffman, not the one you just saw on TV. And I learned a lot of things from him. But I also learned that he didn't have integrity as far as I was concerned. Because I remember one time being in Central Park for some mass demonstration. It was probably one of the human be-in demonstrations where countless thousands of people descended upon Central Park in Manhattan, you know, to protest things, to celebrate a new world order, to celebrate environmentalism and stuff like that. And, of course, that went along with smoking lots of weed, listening to rock and roll bands. So I got there early at the demonstration, and one thing that has been a continuing theme in my life is that I will mysteriously end up being in certain places at specific times that I couldn't have planned because I had no knowledge of what was going to happen. So throughout my life, throughout my search, I would constantly end up meeting people, talking to people, etc., that were heroes to me. I had read their books, etc. And I didn't meet them in like public places. I always seemed to enter an area where it was kind of like a excluded area. So I'm standing there, and then Abbie Hoffman and his wife, back then her name was Anita Hoffman, and they're dressed like rock stars. It's slightly pretentious. These very expensive white leather jackets, white leather pants, white leather fringe, and you know they were holding hands, and then Abbie Hoffman started to shout at the policemen who were riding horses. They were horseback patrols. Lots of horses, lots of cops in the horseback patrols. And I watched him taunt the police, provoke the police. I watched him call the police pigs. I didn't like that. I was very turned off by that. And the reason he was taunting the cops and the reason he was calling them pigs is because he knew one of the primary rules of mass media, which is if you can stir up violence, if you can stir up confrontation, then you will get the big-time television news coverage. Then you will get the front-page article in the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. So his entire motive for calling the cops pigs and taunting them, he was trying to provoke them into violence because the media was all around, and that's what they were waiting for. And violence would have been the guarantee that he was going to get big-time media coverage. But I looked at him and his wife, and this was my hero, and I was very conflicted because he talked a big game, but that's a cheap shot. That's like really low. You know what I'm saying? And very slowly, I began to have disgust for him the more I saw him operate behind the scenes. That he basically had an attitude of, I will do anything to get publicity or my way or whatever. But in any case, he was one of the biggest counterculture leaders in the late 1960s and the early 70s. All the while hiding the fact that he was a full-blown Marxist and communist revolutionary, which he admitted to 30 years later. Now, I should have seen that. That should have been like right up front on my radar screen, because there were all kinds of words and languages and principles he talked about, which, when you got right down to it, they were communist Marxist principles. So what was called the movement was born in the United States in New York City. And then it was also born in San Francisco during the hippie days in San Francisco. And San Francisco was very flamboyant. People were taking LSD. But the political arm, the more revolutionary arm of the movement, was in New York City and in Manhattan. Now, what Abbie Hoffman did was he instigated revolutions and demonstrations. He burnt money on the floor of the stock exchange, and all the stockbrokers were going crazy. And of course, the television cameras were there. So he employed these theatrical techniques to give energy to the movement. Now, I was in this movement, but the revolutionaries, the radical activist revolutionaries, they were always ambiguous about defining whatever the movement was. There was an intentional vagueness to their messaging of the word "the movement." Now, I later realized that the movement, the way they used it, was to put a smiling face or a softer face to wrap their revolution around a more soft face by simply calling it a movement. They didn't call it the communist movement. They didn't call it the Marxist movement. They called it just the movement. And the movement consisted of rock and roll stars, filmmakers, actors, ordinary people, counterculture people, hippies, and it was an alliance of counterculture activists. And I was very much involved in that for many years. And then when I went to the University of Missouri, I was still involved in radical politics. But by that time, I had a dual major. I was majoring in filmmaking, and I was majoring in a brand new field in psychology called altered states of consciousness, where we studied, from a scientific standpoint, the teachings of the gurus, psychedelic drugs, meditation, Eastern mysticism, and all kinds of like weird stuff, and you got college credit for it. So in the process of all this, I began to notice what I would call mechanisms, strategies, methodologies, game plans, that all these riots and revolutionary acts and protests and demonstrations that were happening in Washington, D.C., and San Francisco, and New York, and many other places across the country, that none of it was like random chance. It was all strategically planned, and behind the scenes, it was secretly strategically financed. And you might say, well, who was financing it? Well, I get into that in my book, Power from On High, and I'm going to get into it in some of the programs coming up. But let me just put this out there, and that is the same people that financed the counterculture, the hippie movement, Abbie Hoffman, the demonstrations, and all of that stuff, the same people who bankrolled that and are the same people who bankrolled the environmental movement, and they are the same people who today are secretly financing the current revolutionary movement on the college campuses. And now the vaccinations and COVID itself has become weaponized in the sense that it is being used for strategic purposes far above what the average person thinks is happening. The average American, because they've been socially engineered to be dumbed down, and that includes Christians too, unfortunately, they're one of the worst demographics of people who have been victimized by being dumbed down. And because they're dumbed down, along with a huge percentage of America, they cannot understand, they cannot perceive or see the obvious. And the obvious is that things like the vaccine or vaccines, things like the COVID pandemic, are all being used to implement and create a revolution. Except now, as good advertisers and marketers and PR people and propaganda people, they have rebranded or renamed their revolution. They call it the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is simply a new name for the earlier term, the New World Order. Now, they were always talking about the New World Order during the hippie demonstrations, the demonstrations with Abby Hoffman. I remember seeing one of these demonstrations from San Francisco, and it was like a psychedelic poster, but the dominant symbol in the human being protests, the dominant symbol on the poster was the giant pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer or Satan. The all-seeing eye in the pyramid is an occultic symbol that stands for the New World Order. So who was financing the New World Order back then? Who was financing the New World Order just a year or two ago? And who is financing the Great Reset? It is the exact same international banking families, the exact same wealthiest and richest families and individuals in the world who we call the globalist elite. So it is the globalist elite that has been secretly financing these revolutionary movements, people don't understand it. It's the globalist elite, despite the fact that the globalist elite are the richest and wealthiest people on planet Earth. Despite that fact that they're super capitalists, the reality is that behind the scenes, it is the globalist elite that are financing the communist revolution, the socialist revolution, and the Marxist revolution. And they're financing, they have been financing the New World Order, and now they're simply calling it the Great Reset. So the financiers of the Great Reset are the international banking families and the wealthiest individuals of the world, who claim to be capitalists, but see, they're not really communists. This is what a lot of people don't understand. In fact, 99% of the people that I meet and talk to at conferences, on radio and TV interviews, etc., don't understand this one simple but essential truth that you have to own this truth. You have to understand this truth in order to really understand or comprehend what's going on all around you. And I'm going to spell it out for you in like a simple sentence or two. What you need to know first before you can understand anything that's happening all around you and what has been happening all around you since the time you were born, you have to understand this basic foundational principle that all the communist movements, all the Marxist movements, all the socialist movements, all the radical counterculture movements, all the Black Lives Matter movements, all those movements, including the 1960s counterculture, Abby Hoffman, the environmentalist or green movement, all of these leftist type movements are financed by super capitalist, super rich families and individuals. And then the other thing to understand, that beginning in 1917 was when the Bolshevik or Russian Communist Revolution exploded in Russia. And the fairy tale goes like this, that the people were oppressed by the Tsar of Russia. And so the people, you know, the people of Russia, the ordinary people, they picked up guns and shovels or whatever, and they revolted against the armies of the Tsar because he had all the money. And the people themselves brought in the violent communist and Marxist revolution. They brought communism into Russia. But that's a mythology. That's a fabrication of the truth. Secretly behind the scenes, behind every single communist, Marxist, socialist revolution in the world, that's like including communist China, communist Russia, communist Cuba, and on and on and on. Every single communist revolution around the world has been funded, bankrolled, and financed by the super capitalist elite and the super rich and the super wealthiest families on planet Earth. And people don't get this. The secret invisible hand that finances all communist revolutions is the billionaires in the globalist elite. They finance all the communist revolutions. And they're the ones that, you see, they use the communist revolutions and socialist and Marxist revolutions. That's their secret weapon, because the real purpose of a all these kids in high school and college, I don't care if you got your stupid doctorate or whatever, all these kids who go to Yale and Harvard and all this stuff, they don't understand diddly squat about the reality of current events, economics, and history. They're clueless, just like my generation was clueless in the hippie movement. They actually believe that the purpose of their demonstrations, their lootings, their breaking store windows, their mass protests, their pulling down historic statues and stuff, they actually are so deceived that they erroneously believe that that's the ordinary people rising up to bring in social justice, diversity, gender neutrality, and on and on and on. They think that the communist and Marxist revolution is going to bring about a new world order society, now called the Great Reset Society. But the secret people behind the scenes are the super billionaires and the richest and wealthiest families in the world, because this is the big secret. They use communism as a mechanism, as a weapon. They use communism and Marxism as a secret strategy that when there is a communist Marxist revolution in any nation, the secret strategy is this, and you will never be taught this in the media or books or movies or the news media or the educational system. They will never, ever tell you this, because the truth is the same people that own all of the networks, all of the big banks that own all of the other corporations. And I talked to you about a flow chart economically. And I talked to you about the fact that just two gigantic globalist corporations, BlackRock and Vanguard, control all the other corporations, globalist institutions, the biggest companies in the world, all the banks and financial companies of the world, all the media of the world is totally bought, owned by the super globalists. You understand what I'm saying? And what they do is they use communism, they finance communism because they use communism as a mechanism to raid the wealth, raid the labor pool, steal all the natural resources, turn all the people into economic slaves. Wherever, look at this, it's so obvious that the only person that couldn't understand what I'm saying is somebody who's a victim of scientific mind control. The historical evidence screams at your face, and it says this: why is it that in every single communist, Marxist, socialist revolution, with no exceptions at all, that in every nation that has underwent a communist, socialist, or Marxist revolution, the people are 100 times worse off or more? Not only did they not get their workers' paradise, they didn't get their social justice, they didn't get their free good health care, they didn't get an equal redistribution of wealth, they didn't get social justice, they didn't get equal opportunity education and equal great high-paying jobs equally distributed. Every single promise that the communists and the Marxists made to the people, every single promise was broken. The opposite happened in 100% of the cases. So communism and Marxism, it's essential for you to understand this. Communism and Marxism spreads entirely through lies, propaganda, deceit, mind control, and other forms of deception. When anybody finds out the real truth about communism or Marxism, they get off the boat as fast as they can. Because communism, Marxism, and socialism always ends up enslaving the nation it invades. And you see, under the guise of we're going to redistribute the wealth, the globalist elite, the richest bankers and wealthiest families that are financing the communist revolutions, take full advantage of the opportunity, and they take all the money out of the banks of the people in the communist nations. They take out all the money. They steal all their homes and assets. They give them horrible health care. They don't give them social justice. They take away all their rights. So they don't have any freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. They live in a dictatorship where they're shot in the head if they don't obey the totalitarian orders of the dictators of the communist revolutions. The whole thing of communism and Marxism, it's a scam, it's a heist mechanism by the globalist elite to steal the money, the assets, the property, the geography, to loot a nation. And then by some fancy footwork, the people in the nation that experience a communist revolution end up working at either slave labor wages or they end up working for no pay or money at all. They work as total slaves for the communist revolution, or they work for slave labor wages, and a select few might be barely working class at best. And that's the intention of a communist revolution, is it allows the globalist elite a cover while they loot and enslave nation after nation after nation. But the people that are really financing this are not communists or Marxists. They're the super capitalist rich. All right, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In a moment, we'll be back with more truth. Hopefully, that will equip you to communicate in a high voltage, accelerated manner. We're in an all-out war right now. And if you don't know that, somebody ought to slap your face silly. I mean that figuratively, not literally. But you need to shake your friends and wake them up. I'm telling you, 50% of Americans right now, 50% of Americans are literally walking around in a trance state. Now, don't mystify the psychological term trance state. There is the existence of what is called scientific mind control. It has been studied and operational since ancient Babylon. It has been passed forth from one generation to another, from one empire to another, from one kingdom to another, through occult secret societies, because all scientific mind control comes from the occult secrets of ancient Babylon, which is called Mystery Babylon. You look at the book of Revelation and other books in the Bible, and you see words like sorcery and magic. That was not like some playtime thing. That was like real magic and real sorcery and other occult arts. And the guys who were the high priests, they were the direct advisors of, for example, the king of Babylon. The advisors, the highest level advisors to Nimrod, the head of Babylon, the highest level advisors to Pharaoh. And both the pharaohs and Nimrod and Babylon operated under the occult system known as Mystery Babylon. And they would consult sorcerers, magicians, alchemists, and all kinds of people. But they also used the dark occult arts. And everything today concerning mind control, scientific mind control, originally began in these ancient occult empires. So it was the sorcerers and the magicians and the occult prophets and the clairvoyants. They were real people. And they weren't flakes, because if they gave an accurate interpretation of the pharaoh's dreams or the pharaoh's visions or whatever, if the occult advisors were accurate in what they predicted to the pharaoh, they would be allowed to keep their job and rewarded. But if any of these sorcerers or magicians or alchemists or clairvoyants or prophets, if any of them came before the pharaoh and issued a prophecy which did not come true, received or interpreted a vision falsely, or made a big mistake in some kind of dream interpretation, some kind of astrological interpretation, any error, any deviation from the 100% mark meant that the Pharaoh would order any one of his occult advisors, the Pharaoh would order them killed and beheaded, usually immediately or within 24 hours. They were beheaded and lost their lives. In other words, the Pharaoh killed on the spot any one of his occult advisors that failed in their occult soothsaying, dream interpretation, vision interpretation, whatever their job was. If they blew it and failed to interpret properly, they were dead. And so what that means is there was no flakes allowed in the kingdom of Pharaoh. You made a mistake when Pharaoh asked you for a supernatural interpretation. If you made a mistake, you were killed. And so the secrets of these supernatural powers were literally passed on from generation to generation for thousands and thousands of years through secret occult societies. So they moved from Babylon to Egypt, the Incan Empire, the Mayan Empire, the ancient Chinese Empire, the empires of Europe, the British Empire. All were secretly ruled by occult advisors and occult masters. And all of the kings and the queens and the czars and the pharaohs and other high-up leaders of these super civilizations, they were also masters in the occult sciences and arts. You see, in the panorama of the ancient super civilizations, they all took occult magic, sorcery, and things of that nature. They all took that with the utmost seriousness, and they made their military plans, their economic plans, and they made all their important decisions based on what supernatural information the sorcerers and the prophets and the clairvoyants and the magicians gave them. All right, now let's move into more recent terms. And I delve very heavily on a deeper level on this in my soon-to-be-released book, which you can pre-order for a discount, Power from On High. One very interesting thing is the fact that the British Empire, although it was ruled by Queen Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth's occult advisors were Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee, both who were the world's most prestigious scientists, but secretly they were the world's most powerful occultists. So Sir Francis Bacon was the father of the modern scientific method. Sir Francis Bacon was the father of the scientific method based on empirical evidence. But secretly, Sir Francis Bacon was the head of the Rosicrucian movement, the most powerful global occult movement in the world, which was later renamed as the Illuminati movement. And he and Sir John Dee, who was also a super scientist and an advisor to the Queen of England, they learned what was called the Enochian language after Enoch. So they learned the fallen angel language of the Enochian angels. And supernaturally, these Enochian angels led Queen Elizabeth and led the British Empire into making military and economic decisions regarding their empire. And so the reason the British infiltrated the beginning of America with their secret occult societies is that the British Empire was being advised by occultists and high-level leaders who were secretly getting their knowledge, their battle orders from fallen angels, the Enochian fallen angels. So they were guided supernaturally. And you can see the secret societies at the beginning of America and all the occult symbolism at the beginning of America. And this was due to the fact that Sir Francis Bacon organized a massive infiltration of people who were secretly Rosicrucians, Freemasons, and occultists, but they were secretly mixed in with the Puritans and the Pilgrims. So Sir Francis Bacon financed massive sailing ships and other ships to bring in the Rosicrucian and occult people into early America. And he would maneuver them and infiltrate the colonies so that certain colonies, which you thought outwardly were Christian, were secretly Rosicrucian and occultic colonies. And this whole idea of America being the New World Order came from the Enochian angels, the occultists, and the phoenix on the left-hand side of the back of the U.S. dollar is an occult symbol. And Sir Francis Bacon had an occult vision where he saw that America would not only become the New World Order, but it would become the New Atlantis, because Bacon and others believed, like Plato did, that the super civilization Atlantis literally existed. Now, you'll never hear about that in your educational system or media. They don't want you to know that because they have to suppress the truth that occult power works, because they don't want people who are their slaves to have more power than them. And so sorcery and magic is originally the source of science and technology, which includes specialized sciences like the science of mind control or social engineering or hypnotic programming, etc. That all came out of the occult. But militaries around the world use psychological warfare routinely on their populations. So America and this whole global reset, the first and fundamental weapon has been various forms of psychological warfare that have targeted the American population and populations around the world ever since the late 1800s. Ever since the late 1800s, social engineering, hypnotic programming, scientific mind control, propaganda, advertising, have all been escalating as a very sophisticated and high-level science. Now, let me share a few facts with you. Some ignorant people, probably people you know, do not understand that scientific mind control has reached a level of superiority along with super sciences and technologies like quantum physics, artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, the transformation of DNA, and many other highly evolved scientific discoveries are at the same level as scientific mind control. Scientific mind control is not some spooky fable, nor is it a conspiracy theory. I read the original interview with a very respected scientist that brought the psychological condition known as mass formation to the public. It was his theories that have influenced many people in understanding what's happening in America and the world. Dr. Joseph Mercola wrote an excellent article on that was reprinted November 27th, 2021, where he summarized this scientist's discovery of a societal condition known as mass formation. So I'm just going to summarize what it is. Mass formation is a mass psychological condition, and it is one of the primary preconditions for totalitarianism. Under mass formation, any population, like America, will willingly sacrifice their freedom. They'll give up their freedom in a psychological state of mass formation. The central condition for mass formation to occur is a lack of societal bonding. In other words, social isolation on a mass scale, which is precisely what the lockdowns were all about. But social isolation on a mass scale, which is precisely what the lockdowns were all about. But this began even before the pandemic. Social isolation was at an all-time historical high before the pandemic. The second condition for mass formation to occur is that a majority of the people in America and other nations must experience life as meaningless and purposelessness. The third condition is widespread free-floating anxiety and free-floating discontent. This refers to discontent and anxiety that have no apparent or distinct causes. The fourth condition is free-floating frustration and aggression, or rage or anger, which tends to naturally follow the previous three. Here again, the frustration and aggression have no discernible cause. Once these four conditions are widespread, mass formation can occur, which allows for totalitarianism to rise and thrive. A key strategy to break mass formation and prevent totalitarianism is for those who are dissenters from the oncoming totalitarianism that's rising up all around them, that those people need to join together as one large group as fast as they possibly can, thereby giving fence sitters who are not fully hypnotized an alternative to going along with the totalitarians. Another is to loudly speak out against the totalitarian regime, as this is how historical atrocities are limited. Now, this comes from a man named Matthias Desmet, a professor of clinical psychology at Ghent University in Belgium, where he reviews the societal conditions under which a population ends up willingly sacrificing their freedom and willingly marching goose step into a dictatorship or a totalitarian regime. Now, I want to say something to you. Right now in America, we have already fulfilled all of the societal preconditions that are necessary for mass formation to occur. And then, as science tells us, once mass formation has occurred, and it has occurred in the United States, totalitarianism and dictatorships immediately begin to rise. You understand what I'm saying? So the psychological forces that are swirling all around us are of such intensity right now because we have met the four societal conditions. What has happened is that they studied the statistical analysis done of the COVID panic, or excuse me, the COVID pandemic, which made him realize our global society is starting to enter a mass formation state, which is, as he describes it, a type of collective hypnosis, which is always required for the rise of a totalitarian state. Now, what you have to understand, according to this professor of psychology, what you have to understand is that Professor Desmet has reviewed the step-by-step formula that results in this collective hypnosis. Now, collective hypnosis, by the way, is what scientific mind control is designed to produce. One of the things that it is designed to produce is collective hypnosis, or the group mind. And how this formula has been used on the global population over the past 2 years. Well, why? Because for the past 2 years, there's been social isolation and all the social conditions necessary for people to enter collective hypnosis have been activated. That's a very dangerous situation. When everything that is necessary for totalitarianism and a dictatorship to rise has been activated, any nation like America or any global society is in the most dangerous state or stage you can possibly be in. It is hyper alert time, and anybody who is not functioning with their full brain power, and anybody who lacks the ability to perceive that we are moving quickly in a collective mass hypnosis towards a dictatorship or a totalitarian regime, they or you are an essential part of the problem. If you do not realize that you have entered a state of collective hypnosis and mass formation, if you do not realize that, if you can't look at our society and our media in America and around the world, if you look at our society and you cannot fully understand the fact that we have already entered the stage of collective hypnosis and massive formation, then let me tell you this to you at point blank. You are in a trance state. You are among the 50% of the American population that is in a collective hypnotic state or a trance state. And you are one of the people that, whether you know it now or not, you will be a champion, an energizer, a participant in a violent revolution in which millions of people will die, mass starvation, and the total annihilation of America as we know it. This is not an exaggeration. This is not sensationalism. This is based on evidence of research and study of scientific fact and history. So, Professor Desmond warns us that if we continue to go down this path, we have a certain amount of solutions that we can use, both on the individual or the collective level, that will effectively prevent the loss of freedom that is surely going to follow us right now if we continue to do nothing. Let me rephrase what he said. If we do not immediately stop going down the path that we're on, and if we do not immediately begin to implement the effective solutions that we have at our disposal, both on a one-to-one person basis or on an individual or even on a collective basis, if we don't do those things that we can, that will effectively, not non-effectively, that will effectively prevent the loss of freedom that will surely follow if we continue to stay on our present path of mass formation and collective hypnosis. You need to understand something here. I am understating, I am deliberately understating the level and the force in describing the imminent danger we're in. I'm deliberately pulling it back. I'm deliberately understating it because I'm trying to communicate this to you and break through the walls that some of you have, hypnotic walls, by the way. And so I don't want anything I'm saying to be misconstrued as non-scientific sensationalism, because what I'm telling you is based on not only his research, but reading and studying hundreds of volumes on varieties of scientific mind control and collective hypnosis, where I've made this a serious study in my life for the last 35 years. Okay, so what is happening in the near future? Where does this go? Because whether you like it or not, whether you see, the only alternative to accepting the truth and being part of an effective solution, the only alternative you have to that is to continue walking in your delusion, continue to walk in your collective hypnosis, and continue to walk under mass formation. But remember, at the end of the day, that is going to surely bring about a dictatorship and totalitarian regime. And I assume you know what a totalitarian regime or a dictatorship looks like from what you've seen in history. It is not a pretty picture. So, Professor Desmond started to analyze the case fatality rates and other statistics, quickly realizing that there was something seriously wrong with the models presented to the public and used as a justification for shutting down non-essential businesses and telling everyone to stay at home. If you need to hear that twice, then rewind it and play it. You have to comprehend this. Desmond said the models were greatly exaggerated. The models were greatly exaggerating the threat of SARS-CoV-2, and by the end of May 2020, this was proven beyond doubt. For example, the Imperial College in London predicted that if Sweden did not lock down, 80,000 people would be dead by the end of May 2020. Well, Sweden opted not to lock down, and by the end of May 6, only 6,000 people had died with a diagnosis of COVID-19. So the media, the government officials in Sweden were guaranteeing to the people that if they didn't obey the lockdowns and all the other procedures that they were being ordered to follow, that a minimum of 80,000 people would die in a matter of months. Okay, but the Swedish people did not go along with the government mandates, the government orders, and the media mandates. They didn't go along with the lockdowns. And guess what happened? The exact opposite happened. Only 6,000 people died, and nothing, and the 80,000 people that were supposed to die, none of them died. They guaranteed that 6,000 people, they guaranteed that 80,000 people would be dead, but only 6,000 people died, and many of those died from natural causes. So it was a complete lie. So they controlled, the government of Sweden was manipulating the minds of the people of Sweden through their media and government outlets. They were manipulating them, and they were forcing them through psychological manipulation to go into further lockdowns, further social isolation, and to obey all these draconian orders in order to save them. But the people were smart enough not to do it, and they ended up saving themselves. That's what's happening in the United States right now. Every time you turn on your TV, whether it's a local channel or a network channel, every news show, every talk show, every comedy show, they all spout the same lies and nonsense hour after hour, day after day. Don't you understand? You're totally being lied to. And the reason you're totally being lied to, not all of you, many of you know the truth. I'm talking to the ones who don't know the truth and who don't understand that you're totally being lied to. And the reason you're being totally lied to is the game plan is to use the fear of COVID as a total lockdown, a total control mechanism. But they haven't stopped, have they? Let me just add one thing. One of the things that Professor Desmond was concerned about, because he was examining scientifically, he's also an expert in statistics and analysis, in addition to being a professor of psychology. And as he was analyzing the data and the statistics, he noticed that all the official doctors and medical associations and media and government were blatantly lying to the people. They were lying to the people. And that was psychologically brainwashing the people to do what they wanted them to do. But Desmond warned early on that if the people did what the government wanted them to do, that there would be an enormous loss of middle class, working class businesses, small business owners, small, medium-sized businesses, that all of those smaller businesses, many of you had businesses, they were being intentionally destroyed, intentionally bankrupted. And that includes churches too, under the guise of social distancing and other rules. They have destroyed and shut down countless thousands of churches permanently. Businesses, family-owned businesses that were owned for a lifetime or more, have been destroyed. But what you must understand is that all of this destruction of businesses and small businesses, all of this destruction of these kinds of businesses, notice that the big corporations were not destroyed. They were very comfortably bailed out and saved. The businesses that were targeted for destruction intentionally were the middle class, working class businesses, the entrepreneur businesses, the family businesses, the smaller business operators, even a person that, you know, owns like five or six restaurants or one restaurant. These people were targeted to be destroyed. They did not receive the financial help and assistance they were promised. And so they were destroyed. They have gone under. It wasn't the pandemic that destroyed them. It was the remedy, the so-called remedies of the pandemic, which bankrupted, destroyed them, and made them go belly up. This was done intentionally. It was a strategic and specifically and highly targeted attack on small business owners. You say, why? Because this whole thing was created from the beginning to create a psychological state of mass formation so that people would cry out to a totalitarian regime or a dictatorship to save them. Why? Because they now have been stripped of every other potential resource that they had. They have no other place to go to now. It's all been destroyed. So the only entity left to save them is big government and big government institutions. They will never get their jobs back, their businesses back. They have been decimated. But before they were decimated, they had to perform decades of psychological warfare on the independent business owner, on independent businesses and families. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Please spread our links and shows far and wide. It's the only way we can get our programs and information around the algorithms, the censorship bots, and the taking down of websites and social media platforms. We are in an all-out war for information or truth. If you don't help us, or help somebody that's doing a similar job, then you're part of the problem. You're in denial, because we're all in this together. If large numbers of us go down, we will all go down. And right now, I don't claim to be, you know, superior or better than anybody else. But right now, I can tell you, I've scrutinized the landscape of conservatives, of Christians, and other people. And the overwhelming majority of these people have no clue whatsoever what's going on. They have been given no guidance about what to do about it. No guidance about how to overcome the invasion of the enemy. Their so-called preachers are denying that there is an enemy. They're denying that there's a spiritual war. They're denying there's a problem at all. Do you understand that? How psychologically and spiritually deceived you must be to continue to go to a church and listen to a pastor or a denomination which conceals the truth from you, which hides the truth from you, which will not give you any guidance or any direction on how you can defeat your enemies, how you can survive. I must ask you this in all sincerity. Have you become clinically insane? Because you would have to be clinically insane to continue to go to any spiritual or religious institution, pastor, Bible study, church, denomination, or whatever. For you to continue to go to that church and they offer you no answers, no truth, no guidance, no solution, no plan, They offer you nothing except to deny what you know is true. If you continue your bonding with that institution, I promise you, far quicker than you ever dared to think, you will see the visible, blatant, in your face signs that America has been taken over by a totalitarian regime and a dictatorship. I could, if you wanted me to, describe in vivid details what that would look like in plain and ordinary terms. I could describe it to you in detail because I'm not ill-informed. I'm not hypnotized. I'm not deluded. But you're going to people that are under hypnotic conditioning, collective hypnosis, and mass formation, which are all various ways of describing scientific mind control and the classical state of mental brainwashing. You're going to people that have succumbed to hypnotic brainwashing, and you're looking to them for answers. You need a psychiatrist. You need to wake up before it's too late. And victory is still possible. But you better get off your butt because the time is ticking in seconds about how long you actually have. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. The key message in today's program is that once certain psychological conditions have been met, and they have been met in the United States of America, four psychological conditions, and then mass formation occurs, you have to understand that there is enormous volcanic power when people's minds have been collectively hypnotized through mass formation. You're dealing with the most powerful inner psychological forces there is. And that eventually pushes people into a mass psychotic state because of the conditions. What are the primary conditions? The lack of social bonding, the implementation of social isolation on a mass scale, which is the real reason for the lockdowns. We are all told that any contact with others, including members of our own family, could be a death sentence. You see, this mass formation process unleashes horrific psychological forces. We are trying to do, through this ministry, everything we can to educate others, to wake them up in time so that we can turn this thing over and defeat it. But I can't do it by myself. I need to ask you to pray for us and our ministry. I need to ask you to finance us with your donations, your contributions, and your gifts. Information on how to do that is at the website paulmcguire.us. Without your gifts and donation and finances, we don't have financing to fight against psychological warfare. We must have it. And I'm saying that for myself, my family, my children, my grandchildren, but for you, your family, your grandchildren, society, your friends and your neighbors. This is not about me at all. I would be far more secure somewhere else. I am fighting for your life, your sanity, your mind, and your nation. And if you don't partner with me or somebody that's doing the job, if you don't partner, then you are taking away any potential spiritual weapons that we may need to acquire to win the victory. So I encourage you to go to paulmcguire.us and you can make donations and gifts and contributions there very easily, electronically, or you can do it by check. Now, the critical thing here is one of the ways this mass hypnosis works, way back in 2012, 63% of the people polled said they were sleepwalking through their work days, putting no passion into their work whatsoever. So condition number two for mass formation, hypnosis, was also fulfilled even before the pandemic hit. The third condition is widespread free-floating anxiety and free-floating discontent. Free-floating anxiety refers to anxiety that has no apparent or distinct cause. If you're in the jungle and find yourself chased by a lion, your fear and your anxiety has a natural and easily identifiable cause, the lion. However, when you are socially disconnected and feel your life has no meaning, then free-floating anxiety can emerge that is not connected to a mental or physical representation of a specific threat. Judging by the popularity of antidepressants and other psychiatric drugs, condition number three was also fulfilled long before the pandemic. Now, the fourth condition is free-floating frustration and aggression, which tends to naturally follow the previous three. Here again, the frustration and aggression have no discernible cause. Now, these conditions guarantee psychologically, that people's minds on a mass level will literally flip, and they will flip into mass formation or a collective hypnotic state. These are very, very powerful states of consciousness. Adolf Hitler knew how to tap in to the deep conditions that existed in the German people. And Adolf Hitler, along with his scientists, knew exactly how to trigger. He knew exactly how to flip the masses of Germany from being decent, hardworking people. He knew how to flip them through techniques that caused them to go into a collective hypnotic state where all their fears and their anxieties would suddenly disappear and vaporize, because now they had centered their minds hypnotically on him, the savior, Adolf Hitler. They had centered their minds on a messiah figure, Adolf Hitler. And this is a primal psychological force that then is released on society. And that's why the once good German people were capable of committing the most horrific atrocities, like gassing people to death, burning them alive in ovens, sadistic experimentation, boiling them alive in water, stripping them naked and freezing them to death. The atrocities in Nazi Germany are unthinkable, but they were conducted by, at one time, psychologically normal people. But these psychologically normal people were flipped, and they're being flipped right now in this nation. And if you think this is a conspiracy theory or a bad dream or a paranoid revelation, you need to wake up. We either come alive mentally, step up to the plate mentally, do whatever we can do, or we're going to die. And the totalitarian state and the dictatorship state will be a hell on earth unlike history has ever seen. We're running out of time. You know what you need to do in your conscience. God gave you a conscience. Your conscience speaks to you. Stop listening to the hypnotic state, the echo chamber of what all the people around you are saying. They're all reinforcing you to be sedated, to go along with the death-like program. That will kill you. Stop listening to the drone voice of death all around us and start obeying your conscience, because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you. Yeah, you right now. The Lord's speaking to you. The Lord's speaking to you right now, because the Bible says the Lord speaks to you through your conscience. So when your conscience is bothering you, when your conscience is telling you you need to participate and come alive and break out of a hypnotic state and free others, when your conscience is convicting you to do those righteous things, that is the Spirit of the Lord talking to you. You get that? God's real, and He called you to be here for such a time as this. God bless you. This is your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.